From the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 42, words written to a people in exile. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will not cry or lift up his voice. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will not fail or be discouraged. It's hardly been a month that we gathered to celebrate Christmas. Our candlelight service was especially nice this year in many ways. One of the pieces of that celebration involved Elizabeth sharing white doves to symbolize an image of hope for the many, many people in our group this last year that experienced great loss. A long list of people we've loved and who've now gone before us, if you will, marked by the sign of faith. And the white dove symbolized hope. And at the time, and in many Christmas greetings that I exchanged, included the sentiment that let's make 2009 a better year, better things ahead. So far, not especially. Didn't take us long to have two funerals, did it? And we've got this extraordinarily long prayer list at the moment with Nelda and Lee and others fighting cancer, broken hips now, aftermath of surgery, Jody Cash. All of these concerns that suggest the tough times may not be over for a while. I think of an old guy I knew back in a church I served in halfway to nowhere, Illinois, who one Sunday, when the church was undergoing similar circumstances, looked out and said, you know, we're kind of a puny bunch. And we kind of are in some ways. But we're not alone. Our country is experiencing stresses and turmoils that were enumerated rather precisely by our new president this week at the very early, well, the third paragraph of his inauguration speech went something like this. That we are in the midst of crisis is now well understood. Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Our economy is badly weakened, the consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age. Homes have been lost, jobs shed, businesses shuttered. Our health care is too costly, our schools fail too many, and each day brings further evidence that the ways we use energy strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet. In other words, we're kind of a puny bunch. And I don't know this for sure, but I wonder if either he or his speechwriters two lines later might have had echoing in their minds the words of the prophet Isaiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench, for there are flickers of light, which perhaps led him to say, on this day we gather because we have chosen hope over fear. We've chosen hope over fear. And unity of purpose over conflict and discord. How do we know that hope trumps fear, collectively, individually? I remember when Jim Prather was told that his cancer had not only returned, but had upped in its intensity, and that he was facing many weeks of treatment and trouble. And all he wanted to talk about was how badly he wanted to be the chief chili chef for our celebration. Talked to Nelda this week and talked briefly about her looking ahead to 7 weeks of chemical warfare. And all she wanted to talk about were two weddings in your family coming up this summer. Played poker Friday night. Good buddy of mine named Henry is going to be 90 years old on February the 1st. And in the course of discussing manners and such, in the second hand of the night, he told all of us that he had gotten lung cancer for Christmas. And not just lung cancer, metastatic to bone and brain. There was a brief silence, and somebody asked how one of the other guys was doing, because he had just had surgery the previous in this month, and he said, well, I guess compared to Henry, I'm doing all right. And later in the evening, I'm watching Henry play poker. I was sitting next to him. And toward the end of the night, we were playing seven-card stud, and you don't have to know the nuances of that, but suffice it to say that when you play that game, you have some cards that you hold secret, and others are more or less available for everyone to see. And I'd folded this hand that I was, I folded my hand early, because I had junk. So I can see what everybody else has, and I can also see what Henry's got, not just in front of him, but held in his hand, because I peeked, and I was out of the game anyway. And I see that Henry's hand is only slightly better than the one I had trashed. He had a wild card under. And with one card left to come, I see that Henry's got a slim chance of catching an inside straight and kind of an odd flush draw because most of the spades were already out. But anyway, somebody bet a nickel. And everybody checked along to Henry. And I thought, Henry, you really ought to fold. You know, you got hardly any chance of catching that inside straight, wild card or not. And Henry reached in front of him and said, I'll raise you a dime. Raise you a dime. And I'd like to tell you that Henry caught the inside straight, but he didn't. He lost the hand. You know, it didn't matter, really. How do we know that hope trumps fear? Because we've got within us the wit and the will to, when the chips are down, I'll raise you a dime. Why not? And the outcome doesn't really matter as much as the grace to pull out the dime and say, I'll raise. It's not the most aggressive bet you can make, nor is it the least. It's sort of faithfully assertive. I'll raise you a dime. And like I say, Henry didn't win the hand. Jim never got to cook the chili. But we're in the game. I think we've all, in a sense, got a pocket full of dimes. Some more, some less, but always one or two that give us the opportunity when the bet comes to us in whatever form or fashion it does in life to decide whether or not I'll raise you a dime. And interestingly enough, President Obama gave us a list of some of what those dimes are. Very end of his speech, he said this. Our challenges may be new. The instruments with which we meet them may be new. But those values upon which our success depends, our values on which our success depends, are old. And he lists what they are. Hard work, honesty, courage, fair play, tolerance and curiosity, loyalty, and patriotism. He said, this is the price and the promise of citizenship, all of these values that push us forward. I would suggest that they're also the source of our faith. They're a pocket full of dimes, where courage trumps fear, where tolerance trumps prejudice, where honesty and integrity trump the opportunity to be less so and get away with it. I'll raise you a dime. Because a bruised reed he will not break. We have a trump card, a wild card in our hand and in our pockets. For the whole of our community is greater than the sum of its parts. The wild card is that we are the body of Christ and individually members of it, contributing in our own way to make it a little better, to make it a little brighter. Because a dimly burning wick he will not quench. Raise your dime. Amen.